Welcome to Quebec Zulu Juliet and the third episode in our mini-series exploring C4ISR, Command, Control, Communications, Computers, Intelligence, Surveillance and Reconnaissance. Today's story has the title Data-Driven Decisions for Disaster Defense and reveals the pivotal power of technology and innovative thinking amidst the chaos of disaster response. In the face of crisis, the spark of human ingenuity lights the way forward, turning despair into hope and decision into action. I'm trying something new for this episode by integrating synthetic voices for the dialogue, even though I said that I wasn't going to use any synthetic voices. But I think this might actually work. So if it doesn't resonate, I'll skip it next time or return to my original readings. I hope it enhances the storytelling experience. Anyway, without further ado, let's dive in. When the river burst its banks after 3 days of unrelenting rain, the valley town became an island. Roads vanished under brown water, power cut out block by block, and the small volunteer fire station turned into a coordination cell for everything: evacuation, supplies, and information. Karen was not a firefighter. She was an IT consultant who had shown up with a laptop, a spare battery pack, and an instinct to bring order to noise. Computers were not about gadgets to her. They were tools to shrink chaos into patterns. The fire station smelled of damp wool, diesel, and coffee grounds. Folding tables had been dragged together under fluorescent lights, now powered by a sputtering generator. Paper maps overlapped like shingles. Radios hissed with half-finished messages. Volunteers scribbled notes on sticky pads that curled in the humidity. Every question seemed to chase another question. Do we have boats for the eastern farms? Is the bridge on the south road passable? How many people are still trapped in the care home? Karen set her laptop on the only dry corner of a table. She connected it to her battery pack and powered on. The familiar hum filled the space, and she allowed herself a smile.
Okay, let's turn this chaos into a picture we can actually use,
she said, almost to herself. She opened a blank spreadsheet, rows and columns, stark and unambiguous.
Let's list every location we're worried about,
she told the nearest volunteer.
One per row. Columns for status, needs, contacts, and time of last update.
At first, the others looked skeptical, but when she projected it against a white wall with a pocket projector, heads turned. Karen grinned and tapped the screen.
See? Not just my laptop anymore. This is our wall of truth.
At 0930 hours, a police officer reported,
Farmhouses east of the railway are cut off. 5 confirmed stranded.
Normally, such a detail would vanish into someone's notebook, hard to retrieve when needed. Instead, Karen typed it in. Row, East Railway Farmhouses. Status, stranded. Count, 5. The cell turned red. Everyone could see it.
There. That's not going to get lost on the corner of a notepad. It's in the system now.
At 0942 hours, the VHF radio crackled.
Station, this is Inflatable Boat Team 2, en route to care home. ETA 20 minutes. Out.
Karen highlighted the care home row, yellow. The projected sheet shifted, and she clapped her hands once.
Yes, now everyone sees the same thing.
For the first time that morning, a sense of rhythm emerged. People stopped asking the same question twice. Karen could almost feel the room breathing easier. A local surveyor arrived with a USB stick of terrain files. Karen opened a GIS, Geographic Information System software. Unlike a simple picture, GIS could layer data, terrain, roads, hydrology, hazards. She loaded the files and overlaid flood extent polygons, showing where water had already swallowed valleys. Blue shapes spread across the map, turning familiar roads into drowned lines. Someone cursed softly under their breath. Karen pointed at the wall.
It looks terrifying, but this is power. Now we know. And if we know, we can act.
When a volunteer asked,
"Can we reach the farmhouses from the west?"
Karen tugged layers and answered,
"Negative. Road submerged. Best approach is from the north via the gravel track."
It wasn't guesswork. It was clarity backed by data. And Karen couldn't resist adding,
"See, the computer isn't just a curiosity. It's an essential tool."
By noon, the hall pulsed with activity. Reports poured in, some from radios, others from people running through the door, dripping wet. Each entered the spreadsheet, tagged with a time. The GIS map grew denser with colored polygons. Where there had been uncertainty, there was now a surface everyone could see. Karen noticed a pattern. Reports of stranded families clustered along tributaries where floodwaters rose fastest. She shaded those valleys orange. When a volunteer asked if they should send a team now or wait, Karen pointed,
"This area will be cut off within 2 hours. Send them now. Please, don't wait until it's too late."
The volunteer nodded and dashed off. Karen exhaled and whispered,
"Good. That's one less red box later."
Mid-afternoon, the local ham radio club arrived carrying a plastic crate of handheld VHF radios with built-in GPS receivers. Each was configured with APRS, Automatic Packet Reporting System. APRS allowed radios to broadcast position and short data packets. A Raspberry Pi with an SDR receiver, a software-defined radio receiver, sat in the crate, decoding packets and logging them into a database. Karen's eyes lit up.
"You just brought us live telemetry,"
she said, almost bouncing on her heels. She distributed the handhelds to rescue teams.
"Keep these powered. We'll see you move on the map."
She spent a couple of hours coding a back-end application to pull the database and push live updates into the GIS software. As the first dots appeared, crawling along blue channels and inching down gravel roads, Karen let out a laugh.
"Look at that. You're moving dots now. You're visible."
The room shared quietly. The map was no longer static. It was alive. Volunteers no longer shouted across the room to ask where teams were. They pointed at the wall.
"Team 2 is here. 20 minutes out."
The fire chief leaned on the table, watching dots move.
"Feels like a command center,"
he murmured. Karen grinned, brushing hair back from her damp forehead.
"Feels like control to me, and that's better than panic."
Sensor fusion made it stronger. APRS positions overlaid with flood polygons, rainfall charts predicting where water would climb, and manual notes tied to icons. What had begun as a spreadsheet now resembled the command post of a national operation, run on laptops and goodwill. At 1600 hours, the University Engineering Club arrived with boxes of improvised devices. They had been experimenting with LoRa radios, low-power, long-range radio transceivers operating slightly below the L-band, the Lima band, perfect for sensors. With quick adjustments, they turned the devices into water-level monitors and weather nodes. The students waded into the edges of the flood and deployed them along bridges and riverbanks. Each LoRa beacon reported back to a central gateway, which fed the database on the Raspberry Pi. Within an hour, Karen's GIS screen blinked with new icons, green dots pulsing live water level readings. One sensor spiked faster than expected. Karen squinted at the graph, cross-checked with rainfall data, and slapped her palm on the table.
"This tributary will breach the ridge in 2 hours. That hamlet is about to be cut off. Redirect boats now."
The chief relayed the order. Radios came alive. When the water finally did rise, the hamlet was already empty. Karin leaned back, relief washing over her.
"That's the kind of win we need,"
she said, her voice cracking slightly from exhaustion. A helicopter pilot's voice crackled.
"Station, this is Chopper. Approaching from the east. Request landing zone. Over."
Karin zoomed out, measured an open football field on the GIS map, dropped coordinates and relayed them. Minutes later, rotors thundered overhead. The pallets of supplies landed on dry ground. Karin grinned as volunteers rushed to unload.
"See, computers can make blankets fly,"
the fire chief chimed in, crossing his arms.
"Sure, but last I checked, they're not magic carpets. If only they could make the flood disappear as easily,"
Karin chuckled.
"Well, if I could program that, I'd fly that carpet to work every day."
By nightfall, the flood was not gone, but the station had transformed. Radios hummed steadily, dots moved, polygons updated, and the spreadsheet glowed. Volunteers who had been frantic in the morning were now purposeful. Karin sat back, exhausted, hair plastered to her forehead. She rubbed her eyes and looked at the wall where the map pulsed with data.
"It's not perfect, but it's the best picture we've ever had,"
she murmured, half to herself. Someone brought her a cup of lukewarm coffee. She raised it in a small toast to the screen.
"To clarity,"
she whispered and drank. The coordination cell had become an impromptu C4 ISR node, without anyone calling it that. Command and control emerged as the fire chief set intent and volunteers adjusted details. Communications flowed through VHF radios, ham repeaters, and shouted updates. Computers, Karin's domain, turned all of it into shared understanding. Intelligence and surveillance threads were already forming. Other volunteers were preparing to head out into the countryside to confirm road conditions, while the engineering students' static sensors would keep watch through the night. That's the end of this story about the fourth C in C4, computers. Now to the after-action review. And the first question in the after-action review is, what was supposed to happen? Well, as this is a story with no real resolution, what was supposed to happen result is obviously not as elaborate then, but something needed to be coordinated here, and that is a whole rescue relief effort. And that's what was supposed to happen. And this is the answer to this question then. Ad hoc volunteers needed to coordinate rescue and relief in a flooded town with no central system. And to the second question in the after action review, what actually happened? Initial chaos was tamed by a laptop-based spreadsheet, then amplified by GIS mapping, and with APRS radios feeding live team positions into the system, Karin built a real-time operational picture. And later, LoRa, long-range radios, water level sensors, and weather stations expanded the picture further. Rescue became proactive, not reactive. So to the third question in the after-action review, why did it happen? Because computers extended memory and visualization under stress. A projected display created a common operational picture. This is very important, that you have a common operational picture, a common view, and a shared, then you build a shared understanding easier by having that, a common picture. GIS layered terrain, flood, and team data into a shared map. APRS plus database integration created a living view of team positions. LoRa sensors provided continuous telemetry, feeding forecasts and alerts. Forecasting from sensors allowed anticipation rather than reaction. Karin's enthusiasm and clarity rallied volunteers to trust the system. Maybe that's actually more important than the tech itself, actually. And the fourth and final question in the after-action review is, what did we learn? And the take-home messages. So computers in C4 ISR are decision support tools, not magic. They give structure to chaos, or at least they can do that if you allow, well, if you structure them in that way, they can help you do that. But you have to have the human in this loop to be able to do this with computers, obviously. Energy, positivity, and communication matter as much as the technology itself. Simple systems can scale when paired with discipline and visibility. Radio and computing fused into situational awareness stronger than either alone. LoRa and APRS proved that improvised civilian tech can become powerful ISR inputs. A common operational picture is the foundation for coordination. And maybe the most important one here then, the final take-home message. In disaster or war, the power of computers lies not in silicon, but in the human capacity to use them for shared understanding. Well, that's essentially what I said in the beginning of this fourth question, what to do learn. So, the final words of this episode then. Computers didn't save anyone. People did. But the shared picture they created helped everyone move faster and safer. If you run a team, ask, what's our wall of truth? The next episode is about intelligence, the ground truth that feeds the map. To get in touch with the podcast, visit qzj.se, I spell, Quebec Zulu Juliet dot Sierra Echo, qzj.se, and there you'll find contact information and more. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay prepared, and stay curious. This is Mike, out.